Now let's continue what we began to study last time concerning how to pray for the people that you love. Where were we last time? All right, 1 John chapter 5. John said, if you see a Christian brother, I'm reading New Living Translation, or sister sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying you should pray for those who commit it. Now, I just want to pick up from here. We're talking about how to pray for the people that you love. Or let me just read a few more scriptures to be used as our foundation. This one I want to read is from 1 Samuel chapter 12. I want us to quickly look at that. Again, I'll just read a number of them. We'll now start expounding on them. Our teaching is on how to pray. We are learning how to pray. This is our school of prayer. And what we are on now is how to pray for the people that you love. You see, there was a time that Israel decided to ask God for a king, even though it was not in line with what God wanted them to have, at least at that particular point in time. So you see that, let me just jump to where we really, where I really want. Yeah, 1 Samuel chapter 12. You know what happened was that Samuel decided to show them, when they gathered to talk to Samuel, he decided to show them signs that God really was with him and God was angry with them. He said, even now, verse 16, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking for yourselves a king. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Then all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. Then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord to serve the Lord with all your heart. He now said to them in verse 22, for the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name. Now this is where I'm going, verse 23. He now says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Please notice that Samuel said it would be a sin for me against God if I stop praying for you, that is the people of Israel. He said, but I will instruct you in the way, in the good and right way. He said to them, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Now let me just stop here so as to save our time. Why I read this is the fact that Samuel said he had a responsibility, a duty to continue to pray for the people of Israel. And he said that if he didn't do that, it would be counted against him as sin against the Lord. That is, for Samuel, praying constantly for the people of Israel was a duty that if he neglected to do, he would be sinning against God. We must bear that in mind. Now, we read where we read just now, all right, which was the one we began to read last time, that from that 1 John chapter 5. And last time I talked about that extensively, and then I just want to pick up from there. Remember we said, this was a statement I made last time, that God made us for connection. Nobody was made to be alone. And that the reason why he did that is so that there will be a channel through which the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, may flow in life. There's a statement we've read again and again from the book of Psalms. It says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men, to the children of men. That is what happens on this earth. It's not just what God wants to happen. If God wants something to happen on the earth, one of the first things he does is to get somebody to cooperate with him. The reason why we must learn about prayer is that that is the method by which the thing that God wants to do on the earth gets done. If God wants to save a nation, he gets somebody to agree that this nation should be saved, and the person begins to make intercession and supplication for that nation. What the reason is that it is that person that has authority on the earth, not God himself. The reason is that God had already made it such that it's human beings that have the authority. So the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given, all right, under the charge of the children of men. So if God wants to do something, he needs your cooperation and our cooperation. And that's what we call prayer. Prayer is simply to look at what God wants to do and begin to declare that thing on the earth. It's like giving our authority and our power to the Lord to say, God, your will be done. That is, we are saying, it wasn't a request per se that God, please let your will be done. No, it was an authorization of the will of God to be done. It wasn't like we are praying, God, let your will be done. We are saying, we give you the power and the authority. Come into the earth and establish that which you want to do. That is the principle, okay, of prayer. Now, in line with that, we now said that God has connected us, all of us, to ourselves. You know, there's a channel by which God flows his power. Now, and there's a scripture we must read again when James was speaking, when he talked about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. Now, let's just quickly read that, because it's very important. I emphasize the issue of praying for the people that you love. Book of James chapter 5. Let's just really read from my usual translation, then I go to the Amplified. It said, therefore, confess your... That was verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. It said, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, please notice that you pray for one another and that will bring forth healing for you. He said, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That's New American Standard. But I just like us to quickly read it in the Amplified Bible. And that expression there, it's very instructive, how he says in the Amplified rendering. I just need the second part. He said, confess your fault one to another, pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. He said, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. He says, it's dynamic in its working. Why I read this is the fact that he brought out the expressions earnest, heartfelt, continued. Please, my emphasis is on the word heartfelt. That's what they call earnest. And what do you mean by that? It is something that touches you. The Bible says that we have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The statement I made before, that was last time we were speaking, be careful you don't just go around breaking relationships recklessly. Do you understand my point? It's very important. Preserve good relationships, Christian relationships. I'm not talking about with unbelievers. We're talking about people who know God, who can speak a word for you in the presence of God. When we're talking about heartfelt, first is that, you know, we talked about the Lord being touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It is somebody that loves you and is concerned about you that is most effective in praying for you. Let me say that again. It is a person that loves you and is concerned about you, knows you personally, that is most effective in praying for you. And the same thing happens with you also. It is the person that you love that you feel the person's pain. Now, there are different things. You know, a man of God, an anointed person, a minister that you don't know, who has an unction in his hand, can lay hands on you and power will flow. There are different ways, all right? We're talking about making supplications before God. We are talking about making intercessions before the Lord. It is a person that knows you, that you know, that you feel his or her pain, that you are most effective in praying about. I always put it like this. How effective is your prayer for somebody? If you heard that the person had an accident and you were eating, do you follow? How will it affect the food you are eating? You know, sometimes we are eating and you hear there was a bomb blast in Kazakhstan and, you know, 50 people died. Oh, you are saying, hey, this is Islamist. They just want to destroy this world. And you continue eating as if nothing happened. That is proof to you that your prayer for Kazakhstan is not very effective. I'm not saying it doesn't work at all. Everything has grids. Do you understand my point? Yes. You know, you may say that, what if God wants him to pray for Kazakhstan? Let me tell you something. God knows what he's doing. He doesn't break these rules. In fact, these rules are not breakable. Let me just put them like that. If he wants you to pray for Kazakhstan, what he will do is to put the passion for Kazakhstan inside your heart, so that you start feeling the pain that they are feeling. You know, that's why the most effective prayer warrior or evangelist in an area is the local, the person who is there. Do you understand? Who grew up there? I remember a story I read in God's smuggler. I've used it to illustrate many times. This man, Brother Andrew, who wrote the book, the story, God's Smuggler, is about him. He said one of those days when communism was at its peak, and he used to go into those countries to supply Bibles and encourage the brethren. One of those days, he went to Romania, I think, one of those communist countries, and he saw these elderly Christians. They had been there for a long time. Of course, they are elderly. They were there before communism. They are still there. Most of the villagers had disappeared one way or the other. Maybe they've managed to find their way to Western Europe. All right, this was Eastern Europe. And I think this we also had the opportunity. So he asked them simply, all right, why have you not gone? And they said to him, and is it because of land? Is it, okay, maybe you're waiting that one day our land will be restored back to us. Right now, it's under government control. No, that was not the issue. They looked at him and said, if we also leave, who will stay behind to pray? That was what they said, that somebody needs to stay behind to pray. That struck me, that they are saying in effect, all right, once we exit this place and we forget the place, it becomes more difficult to have effective prayer set for that place. That's it. You know, if you have your investment in America and you're a Nigerian and just read the news of what's going on in Nigeria, it's good, I'm not saying it's bad, but you are not as effective in praying as the people that invested their life in the country. Their children are going to school right here. I keep on saying, if I was the government, this one that Buhari is coming to power, if he asks my opinion, one of the first things he will do is to ban international travel for medical care for anybody in any tier of government. Do you understand? If you want to go, you first resign that position. I don't care how sick you are. All right? If you must go, resign that position. Because the reason why our healthcare doesn't work well is because those who have the power to make it work have the flight ticket to go and take treatment in America. They have the flight ticket to go and take treatment in the UK. They can easily go fly to South Africa or go to India to go and take treatment. All right? And when you get to America, the people they see are Nigerians. The people they see are Ghanaians. You understand? And they even prefer it. You know, some bros, depends, I can connect with you. No, really, there is nothing they are doing anywhere in the world that's not doable down here. There is nothing. The problem is that we don't just put up the appropriate avenue. Listen, let me not go into politics now, all right? But what I'm trying to bring out is that it is where your treasure is. That is where your heart will be also. If they kill a man in Kazakhstan, you don't know his brother, you don't know his uncle, you don't know his father, you don't know his mother. It's just another statistic. All right, last week, terrorists killed 300 people worldwide. The statistics to you. Do you follow the point I'm making? But when you know the people, that's the meaning of heartfelt. People, when they are looking for prayer, sometimes they're looking for a big man to pray for you, big man of God. That's not the person you need. You need the person who your trouble, all right, we keep awake. That's the person you need. You send me an email from South Korea, Pastor Banky, pray for me. Do you know the distance between South Korea? Of course, this is not the problem, really. Yes, I don't know you. I would say a general prayer. If at the end they told me you died, it's a statistic that I died. We will pray. It's not that we won't pray. But most of the result is based upon your ability to tap our prayer by faith. However, you know, I was reading, I got an email, a WhatsApp and a video. Somebody sent me a video by WhatsApp today. A recording, about 6 minute recording. Well, like a 6 minute speech made by a pastor, at least a clergyman, on the floor of the United Nations General Assembly. Ban Ki-moon was there, you see. The president of the assembly for that session was there. I don't know how many of you have seen it. And the man described how he was dead, totally dead, for almost an hour, all right, for about 45 minutes. He was totally dead. Now, if blood does not flow into your brain for 6 minutes, your brain dies permanently, irrecoverably, is dead. If I wonder, I'm doing neurosurgery, all right? When they clamp a vessel, they time it because that vessel must be released quickly, all right, within a certain period of time. This man was dead totally for 45 minutes, no heartbeat, no breathing. They had put a corpse in the ambulance to take it away. After 45 minutes, according to him, Jesus came into that ambulance and woke him up. And he woke up and he was there giving this speech of total sound mind. Nothing wrong with him at all. I was thinking about it. I got it just about 2 hours ago. I was thinking about it. I said, okay, how did this man believe God? A dead man. I just thought about it. Okay, why did Jesus wait till he had died before raising him up? You understand? That's spiritual and not Lazarus level. Lazarus, he was here. Why is Jesus answering the prayer? I'll tell you the truth. Why that man woke up at that time was that somebody was making supplications and intercessions. Listen, there's no other reason. There's no other reason. Listen, for your prayer to be effective for somebody, an individual, either you know the person well, all right, or certain things brings that person's burden upon you. All right, I need to qualify that. Because somebody like me, there are things I see, whether I know you or not, all right, it pains me. Okay? If I see somebody having a particular kind of suffering, whether it's God that did it, I don't know. I don't care whether I feel it's a total stranger. Instantly, the burden enters my heart. I can start praying for the person that I don't know you personally. But until something burdens your soul, your prayer is not effective. That is what I'm trying to emphasize. Until something burdens your soul, your prayer is not effective. That's why I read from that book of James, from the Amplified Rendering, chapter 5. And that's something I want us to understand again today. That's what I was saying earlier. Let me just continue what I was saying. That's why you don't go around breaking relationships anyhow. Because it is not always easy for God to find a willing person to pray for somebody. It is not always easy. He said there was a time I sought for a man. God wanted to judge Israel. And like I said to you, God exists, all right, in different dimensions. There is a dimension in which he is seen as judge. And there is a dimension in which he is seen as a loving father. All right? There is a dimension you look at him as a covenant husband, to like he was to Israel. As a covenant husband to Israel, he did not want to punish them. So what he did was to start looking for somebody to make intercessions against their judgment before the judge of the whole earth, which he is also, of course. But then he said, I didn't find. The judge must rule fairly all the time. So when he did not find, he poured forth his indignation upon the people. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize. Sometimes God wants to bless a man. And one of the ways, because God the Father is always kind, always kind. He will exhaust every mechanism of blessing that person before he allows judgment to come upon the individual. All right? So he said, okay, what do we do for this man? Let somebody pray for him. And God goes through every individual. That is, there are probably only 65 individuals on this earth that have the capacity to pray effectively for that fellow. But the first five, he has slapped their faces in public. The next five, he took their money, didn't return it. The next five, they were in need, he did not answer. You know, like that guy has offended everybody. Everybody. So anyone the Holy Spirit says, please, Chike is sick, pray for him. What they just remember is Chike. Say, Chike, where is that guy now? That idiot. He must be dead. That's the only statement that comes from their mind. You just hear chicken in their heart. And the only thing that comes to their mind is, that's idiot. That's the God leaves those ones alone. Go somewhere else. He said, please pray for chicken. Those ones wake up and say, I hope that boy will remember to pay me my money. Don't mind him. This guy defrauds everybody. Oh, this person, okay, where else do we go? They go somewhere else. He said, chicken, he said, that boy that slapped me in public. One day I will return my own. Aye. After a while, the Holy Spirit comes back to God the Father and says, nobody's praying for him. You can't get somebody else. Okay, go and try all the sisters. You go to the first one. That's Christian sisters. Go to the first one. Chiki, you just remember Chiki. Say, Chiki, that boy can break somebody's heart. It's only God that said I wouldn't die because of him. The Holy Spirit goes again. Pray for him now. She needs them to pray. Because you must understand that the devil too. We just remind her. He broke your heart. Say it's true. And that girl has not learned enough about forgiveness. And even if she does, she just forgives him and forgets him. She literally forgives him and forgets him. Finally, they say, what happened? Throw the boy in the center of the road. Truck will kill him. The people won't know that. Why did he die for his sins? Not because he was the greatest of sinners in Israel. It's because there was nobody to pray for him. Nobody. Everything was going wrong in his life. That's I'm warning you now. Don't just think that. Me, I don't need anybody in this my life. What is it? I've seen you be like that. They don't need anybody. Christmas day, you lock your gate. No problem. Troubled day, your gate will also be locked. That's why I'm just warning you ahead of time. Now, let's just talk about this. Look, one of the things I teach people then, and I'm just teaching you now, is let the memory of your name, all right, bring a smile and a longing into people's hearts, a smile to their faces. Like, ah, where is Neka? Aye, Neka. We've not seen in a long time. My God, Neka. You know, they just start smiling just thinking about you. They just start smiling when they are thinking about you. The memory of your name is not a burden to their souls. When the Bible says the memory of the just is blessed, we used to misquote it in school those days. That means that when you read, you will remember. That's not what the Bible says. That is the recollection of the name of a just man is a blessed thing. That when people remember you, they will be happy. You must strive for that. I tell people, look, you are going to a rich man's house. He says, ah, he has money. He doesn't need anything. It's not just about what he needs. It's about what you also need in life. Make it a habit. You are going there. You are coming from the village. Don't they have pineapples in the village where you are coming from? You think you give a millionaire pineapples, you will forget? You go to his house. Ah, chief, good morning, sir. We just came back from the village. Say, let us greet you. Meanwhile, here are pineapples. But some people, as you are knocking at the gate, he tells you, what does he want? You know, like, last time he came here, he wanted feast for his children. The last time he came here, his family are not eating for a day or two. The last time he came here, do you understand my point? That's all. So next time you knock at the gate, what does he want this time? And you go home, sitting there and say, he has money. Let's collect our portion. You're just wasting your spiritual influence. You don't realize it. People don't. Listen, I've told you, make sure that the memory of your name, it brings a smile. Because when it's time to pray for you, those are the things that matter. I'm not talking about, you know, this Jaguda principle in Christianity. Give somebody something so he can remember you. That's not what I'm going to say. But just make giving a habit. Make it such that you are a good person to be with. That you are a good person to be with. It makes you easier to pray for. That is the point I'm making. I heard a story long ago. Now, the person who preached with this, he also said what I'm about to tell you. They are not sure this happened. But there's what they call these apocryphal writings. They are not scripture, but they write on spiritual things. Some of them appear Christian, but they are not in the canon of scriptures, all right? I've heard a lot of preachers quote from some of them, but they warn you that, look, I just want to say this, all right, in passing. If I remember Ed Cole talking about the encounter of Jesus when he returned to heaven after his death and resurrection, all right? And the people said that, what are you going to do now? He said, I left 12 men. He said, 12, what if they fail? He said, there's no other plan. It's one of those books. One of them wrote a story about Pharaoh. And that people were praying, I don't know who exactly, but people were praying for Pharaoh to be judged. All right? And that's Pharaoh that kept Israel in captivity. They were praying for him to be judged. But that God will always say, I can't judge him. They say, why not? Then God will let them see the number of people that Pharaoh was feeding, that each day he was slaughtering like 1,000 cows, not to count the number of goats and chicken. We have not counted all the grain and all of that, to feed all those he ate at his table. And that for that reason, I think it was Moses or somebody, they kept on praying against Moses, Pharaoh. And what God could do to bring Pharaoh to judgment was to incite him to stop doing the good he was doing. So little by little, he was tightening the noose on the Israelites. Go and make more bricks. At the same time, he was reducing the amount of food he was serving from his table. They said the night that Israel, I think they said the night that the angel came in and killed the firstborn, only two fowls were slaughtered in Pharaoh's house that day. Do you understand what I'm saying? From 1,000 cows a day to two fowls. So by that time, his judgment was due. Nobody was groaning and crying for favor for him. And I said last time, let me say it again. You can disband a witch's coven easily. And you don't have to be a believer. This is what I'm telling you now. We Christians, name of Jesus covers all those disbanded. But you are not a believer, witches are gathering against you. Bring all of them to your house. Feed them. When they finish eating, they can't witch again. What I've told you is that they will now use your food to do medicine against you. I said it before, they cannot use your food to do anything against you. God the judge never allows that. I hope we are clear on that. Now, what I'm just bringing out from there today is this. Make sure that the memory of your person brings a smile to people's faces. It's just a general principle of life that you must practice. That's what I'm going to say, all right? Now, back to what I was saying. So, remember where we began from? We said that God has tied us to people. He made sure that you didn't drop from the sky. The human child is said to be the weakest, the most helpless of all offsprings on the earth. The human child. When a human being is born, he's worse than a freshly hatched lizard. You know it. The lizard, the egg hatches in the morning. By evening, it has disappeared. The turtles, they will come out of the sea, out of the ocean, and lay their eggs in the sands. When these eggs hatch, the little turtlings, is that what they call them? Is there anything like turtlings? But you know what I'm talking about. Those little things, they scramble for the ocean by themselves. Nobody's there. Fowl hatches the egg now. The little chicks will get up and follow the mother. The mother practices the principle of my sheep know my voice. Just goes in front. The little ones will be following. You've seen the goats. As soon as you give birth to any of these, either the goats or the ungulates, or the antelopes and stuff like that, they get up immediately. The first thing they do in life is try to get up. Start following the mother. They find the breast by themselves. You get the point. But the human child is different. Give birth to him or her, lies down there making noise, starts crying, puts the breast 1 inch away from his mouth. He's not going to move closer. He stays there and says, put it here. The only time that fellow opens the mouth to suck the breast is when the nipple touches his face. That is the only thing God allows you to do. We call it routine reflex. No, you can do just a little baby. Just put your finger and touch the cheek. The mouth just shifts in that direction. That is the best he can do until the thing enters his mouth and says, hey, how far? Since when? I don't dare hear the cry since. If the mother just sitting across the bed, he can't roll over and say, mommy, wait now, I'm coming. No, he stays in one place. He's said to be the most helpless. Walk now. 12 months. If he walks at 7 months, he'll say, wow, this boy walked early. Wow. Goat was walking at 7 seconds. You get what I'm trying to explain? That's how human beings are helpless. Why? Because God is tying them to that mother. That's it. God ties everything. Other process is a thorough bonding process. The mother gets used to this offspring. The offspring gets hooked to the mother. Everything must be done for him, done for her. There's a spiritual reason. It's because they are not like goats. The destiny that they carry, goats don't carry it. The destiny that they carry, turtles don't carry it. This people are going to carry the presence of the Almighty God. God said, no, they must pour a good spirit into them. And the only way you can do that is by the people who are around caring for them. It's not just physical care. It's the spiritual care that's the issue. They are speaking words into their lives. They are teaching them godliness. God is that's what God did for us, who tied us together. Then when your mother has you, after some months or years, they add another person to you. They don't let you go before the next one comes. Unlike goat will first, in fact, the moment he's pregnant again, start headbutting the older one. Get away from here. You know, that's what they do. Before the next set comes, the older ones have to go. That's it. You've seen chicken fighting children. See what you are seeing here at your age. Come on! It's only when it has done that, it will go and lay another set. But human beings know. The mother is pregnant like this. The baby is still going around. I remember when my second boy was born, Binga. Mother was carrying him. I can look at him and say, put him down. Carry me. There are children that still want to be, you know, checking who's on the breast roaster. Is it me or my younger brother? You have to come on shift. Why? They have two of them who grow in the same house. God is bonding the older one to the younger one. You're getting the principle here. Tight connection. Why? It's the only way spiritual power flows. That's what I'm going to explain. That is how spiritual power flows. Back to what Samuel said. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for my younger brother. Are you getting what I'm saying? God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for my elder sister. God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for my cousins. God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for my children. God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for my parents. Because the reason why God puts this network is so that spiritual power can flow, period. What is the message today? It is a sin not to pray for the people that you love. That is the main message for today. We must understand it's a serious responsibility, you know. I said before that there are three things that control the things that happen on this earth. Number one, the plan of God, what we call the will of God. Number two, the behaviors of people. Are they sinning against God? Are they doing what is right in his presence? And number three, the prayers of people. It's a combination of those three things that determine everything that happens on the earth. Each one of them is just as potent as the other in affecting what happens on this earth. We've already established about the issue of praying for somebody who's committed a sin that's not unto death. But I'm not going to talk about that much now. What I just use that one to help you understand is that a man is committing sin. It is possible for somebody else to pray for him, and he does not suffer the consequences of the sin. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. And who is that person? Is what the Bible calls a kinsman redeemer. Somebody who is tied to him. Somebody who is connected with him. Who knowing that if what he's doing, if he's to reap the just recompense of reward, I will feel pain. And that's why God makes it so that you feel the pain of other people. That's the main reason. It's not so that you can settle down in a corner and be discussing. Can you imagine what John Bull is up to? I'm just feeling sorry for that guy. When God is going to come down against him, he will see. That's not the reason. The reason is so that we can, you know the interesting thing about God? As much as we may not realize it, he doesn't want anybody to perish. For him, it's a real disaster. When an armed robber gets shot and he dies in his sins, it's a real disaster. It's a real disaster that anybody dies because he or she sins. God considers the real problem. That is, it shouldn't be like that. That's why he's not quick to judge. We human beings are very quick to judge. We get angry. But he's not quick to judge. What he wants is that, okay, let's hope that this fellow will repent. And then this is what I'm making. That fellow coming to repentance, I don't know why it's like that. The fact is that it depends a lot on people praying for him. I am not saying that the prayers will always have the desired effect. Are you getting my point? Because there are many factors. You can't force a human being to be saved. All right? But, you must be seen to have done what you are supposed to do. Lest it be that the reason why we did not get the desired result was you didn't do your own portion. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. What I'm doing today is throwing the responsibility for the welfare of our siblings, parents, close cousins, friends. I'm throwing the responsibility on us according to the commandment of God today before we even talk about how to. We must first realize that the reason why God placed in that family and you are the one that has light is because it is your duty to affect everybody else. It is possible that you are the reason why your brother hasn't believed. Yes? What did I do? Okay. When last did you sit down and beg God for him? I said something last time. I didn't plan to say it until I said it. When my God, my wife said, this one is new. That somebody just complaining to God and you say it's accusation. I say yes. Because when you go, all you did was tell God everything that he has done. Is that not so? So what do you want God to do with it? To say, I have heard. God doesn't have a neutral gear. No, he doesn't have a neutral gear. Either it's actively bringing forth judgment or it's actively applying mercy. It's when the two of them balance, you now know the one that's going on. The woman comes to say about her son, God in heaven, oh, you are the only one I can talk to. The one that Emeka has been doing to me, you know what Emeka we used last time? Please, in case your name is Emeka and Chike, nobody reported me to you. But in case you are guilty as charged, they better repent before the judgment comes. Sometimes you are saying this, the mother saying, hey, my mother called this man. My mother called him. Your mother didn't call me. All right? But just in case you feel like you are the one, repent or you will likewise perish. That's what the Bible says. All right? So this woman goes to God and says, my son Emeka, 6 months, he has not even remembered me. God, oh, now your eye did, your hand I deal. Before you said in that your hand I did, she first reminds God that 6 months, the person who you gave the duty of taking care of me hasn't remembered me. No matter what she intended, she has accused him. Doesn't mean she's an evil person. But she has accused him. And it is not her fault. Are you getting my point? But I'm not sitting on that one now. What I want to sit on is how we relate with our brothers, our sisters, our friends. A lot of times we also accuse instead of doing intercession and supplication. My friend is doing something, my brother is doing something. What we often do, and don't forget one thing, the Bible says, those that fear the Lord speak often one to another, and the Lord heard. What we do a lot of time, we sit down. Have you heard? What happened? Hey, the one that sister, give me a name.